Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello and welcome to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. It's me, Helen Thorne, writer, comedian, fucking badass, motherfucking wonderful woman. Let's just go with that. I am delighted today to have not one but two guests, dear listener. It's Helen and Maya from Featured in 15. Hello.
Hello.
Isn't this wonderful? Not two, three women. The more women, the better. That's what I say. So look, let me just hop straight in. Who are you, Helen and Maya?
We are together Featured in 15, which is a night that we started 3 years ago in Forest Hill. And it's a night that it's uniquely ours, I think.
Yeah, full of intrigue and curiosity. What we do is we select hand-picked amazing individuals of our community or a little bit further.
London.
Who have amazing stories, talking and sharing what they're about.
In 15 minutes,
hence featured in for 15.
Yeah, and I have done a couple of these with my dearly beloved Ellie Gibson. It is the most incredibly moving, fun, inspiring night, and it's in a pub,
yeah.
Above a pub, and you usually have what about six guests? Is that right?
Between five or six, yeah. We normally have, but yeah, the pub part was quite integral to it because we realised that we needed alcohol when we were.
It's the elixir of life.
That's right. It greases the wheels.
Yeah,
and we spent a lot of time together. We've had a friendship for over 10 years, and whenever we went out together, we'd always end up talking to randoms and. Enjoying.
Oh, they're incredibly shy. Listener,
yeah,
honestly.
Really shy. We'd need at least a couple of drinks.
Yeah,
or one. And we just loved talking to people. So what we wanted to do was just turn that into something that everybody could enjoy. Because actually, what you do is when you reach a certain age, is that you go out and you just talk about how crap your life is, really.
Yeah,
there's a lot of moaning.
It's a communal moan, really,
yeah.
Isn't it?
More. And we get blamed as women, don't we, for nagging and then going out and moaning about our nagging. So actually, it was really nice to just do something that was inclusive to everyone. At first, it was so funny because a friend of mine had said, "What's all this FF everywhere, like feisty females?" And actually, it was really interesting that he happened to be a man. But actually, the whole project isn't to exclude. It's to include, and I think that was something that we both
definitely
felt strongly about.
I mean, though, it is quite hard to get male features. So
interesting.
You'll find that
men love talking about themselves.
Strangely, but not in public. So not to a room full of people, it seems.
Yeah.
So that has been interesting, that men are slightly more... But once you explain the concept to them, then absolutely, because they have just as much... amazing stories to share, I think, as women do. But I think we are more used to sharing than perhaps they are. But then sometimes what you find is that they reveal so much more because our night isn't rehearsed. So we don't actually know what people are going to say. We meet them beforehand. We meet all the features and we have like a chat, like how we're chatting to you. But on the actual night, I mean, Helen and I create the themes for each one so that you know, our next one is youth and yearning. So we try and find features that touch on those themes and it kind of weaves the night together as a kind of a narrative theme to
it. Yeah, because everyone's different and that's what Featured in 15 was born out of, is the idea of, you know, it's not a night like, you know, you could say TED Talks. It's loads of people talking about loads of different things. So you can have mental health in one breath, but you could have someone that's like an explorer in another, but they're both coming at to the theme with different content, which is what is brilliant. It sends a shock to the audience because they could be on a, oh my God, really, like the emotional pathway. We don't even know what it's going to be.
Yeah.
So it's brilliant.
It is. And the night I was at last, you had a fireman.
Yeah.
Did he talk about,
Grenfell.
It was Grenfell.
Yeah, Ricky Nuttall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary. And of course, incredibly moving. And then you had two young DJs, graphic artists, who were still, I mean, barely born, and then who had like curated music at the Tate. And they were really inspiring and really engaging. And it is really nice to break away because you scroll through your phone, you've got this sort of weird curated view of the world.
Mm.
You've got the echo chamber of your Facebook friends. You've got your who you follow on Instagram. But to have those interventions, I guess, to be sort of awakened.
In the room.
It jolts you.
Yeah. And we've got this, you know, when features go on, we come back on and introduce someone else, but we actually say back in the room, because the whole point of Featuring 15 is to do exactly that, get people in the room.
Mm.
You know, we just live in this society now where it's, like you say, you can just go on your phone, you can make a comment, whether it be a nice comment or a nasty comment, and you're faceless.
You're removed from the situation.
And there's no accountability.
No, and I think that there's nothing but kindness and love at our events. Mm. Everybody wants to hear somebody's story, but with that, but like welcome everyone.
Yeah.
It's quite a extraordinary night, isn't it?
It is. And I think we ourselves have actually got a lot out of it. I think personally, like it's shifted my perspective on so many different things, and we've met so many amazing people who've enriched our lives. So that, you know, is probably the takeaway from it, is that it just makes you go away and you feel like you've gained something from the night. You know, no matter how small or big, it still changes you a little bit.
Yeah, so. Totally. I mean, we've had people leave their jobs on the strength of a speaker. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's really influential.
So, yeah, it's nice to feel that you do something that's, you know, that's doing something purposeful.
Yeah.
In some way.
But not worthy. Yeah, because that is one thing when we started it was we didn't, as much like I enjoyed TED Talks and things like that, they do feel very removed from my life. It's like, but I still need to like get the laundry done, get my shopping done and, you know, and then save the world.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, but I still want to feel like I can do something positive and it's achievable. And I think everyone that we've ever had on Featuring 15 is relatable, and you can see a part of yourself in them or a part of their story relates to you personally. So that I think is what makes it powerful, is that really everybody is a, you know, got their own superpowers, really. You just kind of got to tap into it.
And everyone has a story to tell, and I know this is a podcast about bodies, and I think you are more aware of your body than ever before when you have to do public speaking.
Yes.
When everyone is seeing you, you're seeing your body, hearing your voice, you become so aware of your heartbeat, your breath, what you're wearing, all how you carry yourself and how people will interpret you. And that is like the ultimate kind of vulnerability in a way. So I'm not surprised that more women do it, because we all know that women are stronger like that they can kind of, I was going to say, expose yourself.
You are. We try not to on the nights. Wardrobe malfunctions are not prerequisite.
No.
But that was actually, I mean, quite daunting actually at first, even though we've obviously in our jobs and things had to do pitches or, you know, speak to groups of people.
Mm.
Actually standing up in a room full of people and knowing someone's taking a photo, you do feel more suddenly a little bit like, oh, how am I going to look in that picture?
Yeah.
And, you know, you can't control everyone taking pictures of you. I mean, so it's kind of, you do have that vulnerability and you kind of have to just go with it, I think, is.
Yeah. And I think, and I'm sure lots of listeners would agree to this, public speaking can be like people's biggest fear, like, oh, I can't do it. And so many times when I've talked to people after the show, I said, how do you be a comedian? How do you have that
confidence. I was like, I don't know where that actually comes from.
I think you have to keep doing it. I mean, as an outdoor swimmer, I, you know, used to hate getting in my swimsuit, probably from when I was a kid. I was a big kid, you know, and I hated the swimsuit. And all you got to do is just keep doing it. Just keep getting in it and just keep looking and just, and I think it's like that with public speaking. And Ellie actually said to me when you guys were with us, I said, I've got this uncontrollable fear. It was horrible. I felt like my legs were like Bambi on ice, you know, and I felt like it actually, my body then changed the rhythm of my voice. I was full of so much fear. And she said, just imagine the horses are coming over the hill and going, you know, and
the cavalry. Actually,
yeah, cavalry. And I was just like, that is bloody brilliant.
She's because pretty good, it Ellie, really isn't she? Did.
And she said, and then let them go. Let it charge through, because that fear is actually a good fear. Mm. It's getting you geared up, you know.
Mm.
And now, even when I do feel it, I actually think of Ellie.
And sometimes you need those mantras. Yeah. You need that. Yeah. Those little, you can do this. It's, and what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, really, that's actually how I get through it. Because I am quite confident at speaking. So I don't have that initial fear, but I just think I just got to keep going. Even if I lose my train of thought, I'm like, okay, we'll just keep going. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that, you know, what's the worst that can happen? And that's really how we set the night out. Was our first ever one. We were like, well, the worst thing that can happen is no one's going to turn up. No one's going to enjoy the night, and then we'll never do it again. And then that's it. And it'll be over.
Yeah, but, like, so that's how I got 14 events later.
I know, that's how I got through it on the first night. But I think confidence is just something that you have to, especially when you get into your 40s, like really will yourself to feel sometimes, because you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's where it's hard. I had a hysterectomy now 3 years ago.
It was just before my birthday.
Yes, it was.
Because it's all about me.
All about you.
Remember you texted me going, I may not come because I've just had my womb cut out.
Yeah, my uterus is missing. I may not make it.
Have a drink, get on with it.
Yeah, I did.
I know.
I soldiered on, as you do. But that was a little bit of a watershed moment, because I too had just turned 40 and was now sort of making this decision to have it. And I don't know, it wasn't a hard decision, because it wasn't really about, I didn't really want any more children, so that was fine. So that wasn't really part of the equation. But it was also, what's it going to do to my body and those changes that I would have absolutely no control over? I mean, that was it's a real, you know, everyone says to you, oh, but that's kind of, your skin's going to go weird, you're going to put on loads of weight, you're going to, all these negative things. Mm. And actually, it was probably the best decision I ever made, because of all the other health things that I had going on.
Did you have polycystic?
I had fibroids. So my uterus was basically like I was 5 months pregnant, of all the, and then I had adhesions to my bladder and all sorts. So it was, you know,
it's
like
a bit of a mess down there.
It was a bit of a mess down there. Yes. I remember when I had Oscar and the midwife, she said, oh, you're so lucky that you even managed to have him. The size of those fibroids in your uterus, they were almost as big as him. I was like, oh, thanks for that. Cheers.
Yeah. Gorgeous. Oh, can we go out now?
Yeah.
Stop your flattering. Oh.
So, you know, I knew it was problematic, but, you know, it was, I suppose we're so caught up as women. It's like that 40 thing is like this, oh, you either got to go out and celebrate it and look amazing and be fabulous because, you know, you're 40 and you're fab and all of these things. But at the same time, it's kind of, I think it's the inner work really that you have to do with 40, because it's, you're carrying a lot. It's that, you know, whether you've had, you know, like a hysterectomy or not, but you are, your fertility is changing. There's all these things to consider. And your body does change.
And you wear more lycra than you've ever worn before. Oh, I mean, I've actually seen people that turn 40. I did it, and then I'm quite far. I'm a good stage in to my 40s, so I can talk as if I know.
Yeah.
And then you see all these lovely ladies on Instagram, and you know they've hit 40 because the lycra gauge has just gone right up.
All these women listening going, just look at my wardrobe.
I now have mainly lycra and lots of trainers, and because it's comfortable. comfortable, isn't it?
Who wants a high heel?
Comfortable.
No, I'm all about the flat shoe.
Yeah, but that's the other thing. So what's it about your feet bloody hurting? Like
that. Oh, everything fucking hurts.
That's crazy. I was just I thought back. I absolutely wet myself laughing because I thought about all the aunties and when I remember that of a certain age, they used to take their shoes off and like light a fag and be in my mum's front room and go, oh, just rub my feet for 5 minutes. I used to hate doing it. And they were all just like, when you get to my age, your feet will start hurting. And I thought, oh my God, I've just become that woman.
Yeah. I think what we have to watch more than anything is the noise gauge when you sit down. Because if I'm around old people, that you know that, you know, when does that happen? Actually, you know, like, can we all so make audible. A pact here that we don't do this?
I've already done it.
It just gets louder. It just gets louder, and it's just not cool. Oh, and it's never going
to
be cool.
When you start hearing it, though, you're on heightened alert. Yeah. It's like, I just sitting next to my elderly parents, just everything makes a noise.
I know, and it's never going to be a trend. It's never going to be something that we want. So we're making that pack now.
Okay,
No noises. Only good noises.
Yeah, thank you very much. Now, speaking of bodies, you also have done a fitness. Can you talk us about the other thing that you organised?
Oh, So
we got a fitness class on a Monday with our amazing fitness instructor, Anna, who we love going to the gym. We both at the time worked from home, so we used to go to the gym, and Anna used to run a class at our local gym. And they were having work done, and it meant that she couldn't run a class. And I just said to Maya, well, let's set up a class then. And
Jessica that made us do it.
Okay, our friend Jessica, she said, why don't you just do it then?
Because we were moaning about it.
And we were moaning about it, yeah.
Actions, not words.
We are very much action, not words.
And we do actually work very quick, fast, for fast pace, three things. So we were just like, right, let's find a hall. We found a hall. And then we just engaged with the women that were in our class.
Yeah.
A lot of them didn't come, actually.
It's true, but
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. And we've been doing it for nearly 2 years now.
2 years.
It's a class on a Monday.
And it's all ages, all abilities. Yeah.
It's a fiver.
Fitness for a fiver. And we have... we have all women, and Simon, who is brilliant,
excellent,
But I think from that, what we, for us, it was all about like strength, really,
absolutely.
And you know, the joking about making a noise with a chair sitting down was that, you know, Anna kept saying to us, when you get older, the ability to get up out of a chair unaided is actually one of the things that will keep you healthy for longer, because the minute that you're unable to do those things, you know, with osteoporosis and all those other fun things, it's serious. So actually, as women, taking your health...
Mobility, ladies.
Mobility and strength. Mobility.
Yeah, and I think when... Like, my dad had been ill for 18 months and seeing him weaken... I mean, he was a big man. He was like 18 stone at one point. And he just lost so much weight. And watching him lose his strength was just one of the worst things, actually. Mm. He became so frail. And I thought, I just don't want to do that. I want to be strong. I don't want to lose weight. I just want to be physically strong. Mm. You just got to mix it up, enjoy it. And it's just so good for your mental health.
You feel high. It is the joy. And it's so funny. So many of my friends who have hit their 40s have rediscovered or have been introduced to exercise in a whole new way.
Yeah.
Not without guilt, not without shame, not without all those things, that not feeling enough. And it's just about you and the way you feel about your body. Yeah. And it is a great... And also, Helen, recently you've got into boxing.
I have.
Tell us about that.
Amazing. Well, I was looking for a local boxing club for a long time, but the intimidation factor, you know, it's like, I don't want to go in and be around lots of beefy men, although that sounds quite nice in some parts, but not in a ring. I came across, it's called Holmes. It's a boxing club in Lower Sydenham, and Ian runs it, and he's just brilliant. And he actually does a Sunday session as a boot camp. And yeah, you get on the bags. You get on the bags of all sizes. So it's not full contact. You know, it's not like you don't spar with someone, but you definitely hit the shit out of a bag. Varying sizes. So, and then you do like a circuit. And it's just, I read about it actually, because obviously being in the stages of grief, after losing my dad, I read about this woman who turned 50 and she actually saw that, and boxing actually allowed her to come out, like to really hit that kind of grief.
Literally. Yeah.
Because I, you know, I do work out every day because I work from home. I have to go out and do that because it's good for my mind, but it also means that I interact with people. And doing the classes was great, but it just wasn't getting that stuff out.
Yeah.
And then I just went along to the boxing class. I was really nervous. Because it's like in a shed in the back of this community.
Oh, very raw.
Honestly, it's like something.
So hard.
Yeah. And I literally walked in. I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. You know, and it is. It's just incredible. Ian's great. He's so much fun. Mm. And the women that go are brilliant. You know, there's that real kind of, you know, team.
Eye of the tiger.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so there's like 20 women there some weeks that are all eager to just kind of let it out.
Yeah, so important.
Yeah, and just to come out and feel physically strong is amazing.
Well, you're both very sexy. I know. Because I go to the local gym, I think the one that you're referring to, and I often used to see you doing your amazing... with. Your amazing arms, doing your weights, Maya. So, I mean, can you tell us about your sort of relationship with your body now? Obviously, you went through a big thing.
Yeah.
Both having children and then having the hysterectomy.
Yeah, so actually my fitness really peaked after I had the hysterectomy because I would find exercising actually quite uncomfortable and painful pre-hysterectomy. And I had just gotten used to that and just assumed it would always just feel like a chore to do it. But actually, after I was, you know, obviously fit to exercise again from the doctors, lifting weights and actually really feeling like, wow, I can do this. It actually doesn't have to feel as uncomfortable as it used to. I loved it. And I think, again, it's just that feeling powerful and being able to lift weights and not feeling intimidated by, you know, guys going, making all the noises of the...
I don't understand why
they do it. And it's just because when women lift weights, we don't make those like oh, look, it's 40 kgs.
I was doing yoga at the gym and it was in sort of an open space but next to the weights and the yoga teacher's saying, just breathe in, breathe out. And then there was a guy going... and we all got the giggles. I was like, and we were looking at each other, just giving each other side eye, like, this is about you. You just want all of us just having a lovely yoga time. No.
It was pretty gross. Because they've never had to give birth to babies. So. Yeah,
this is the thing.
This is it. We carry around children, we do all of these things, you know, and we don't need to make all those noises.
No,
I think for me, it's just that kind of getting over a lot of like hang-ups about, I was actually watching the Margolis, the lady, she was on TV last night talking about being fat and how...
Oh, Miriam. Yeah.
I could not get that. Thank you. Yeah. So I was watching that and actually it started a conversation where I was saying, you know, it's always how we perceive ourselves, never really how somebody else sees us. And, you know, she was saying that she uses that armor of already telling someone, oh, I'm fat. So we've already done that. We've covered that. You then don't need to say it to me. But it's like, I've got hang-ups about, you know, my stomach. And from I had two C-sections, a further surgery after that to have my fibroids removed, then another surgery to have my hysterectomy all done through that scar. So I have a scar that runs underneath my stomach and it has changed the shape of my stomach and there's nothing I can do about that. But it's accepting that that's my body. But you know what? It's an amazing body because it's healthy and actually I just have to get over it. It doesn't mean that every day I feel like, yeah, I look amazing. But it's kind of just accepting it and not letting other people's perception of what you should look like.
And it's hard because, you know, I'm raising two girls that, you know, they're exposed to so much on, you know, this fakeness. And that's really hard, actually. Yeah. You know, and sort of, you know.
And they're on Instagram. But also young girls and they're trying to make sense of the world through people they like and imagery and the media and making a sense of who they are and how they fit in with all that as well. It's a really hard thing to navigate.
Yeah.
Because you want them to own
own whatever choices, but don't feel pressure to be a particular version of them.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, we all have stretch marks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's our body growing.
Mm.
Whatever age we are, that is going to happen. The reason those girls don't have it is because they've got a little airbrush, you know, and there's filters and there's, you know, and I just think, yeah, that's just... I don't know, that's why my message to my girls is just be strong. You know, just be strong, because if you're strong physically, you're strong mentally, and you're strong everywhere. And that's how I feel.
Yeah.
You know.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I was going to ask Maya about your background, and you were just talking about your aunties altogether.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain a bit more about your background? And
yeah, so I come from, my family are from South America in Guyana, which is going through a bit of a turmoil time because they've got lots of oil and they've got elections and it's all lots going on there. But my sort of heritage is that my mum is Indian and my dad's black. So as I was growing up, I never really felt in either camp fully. Mm. I either wasn't black enough or I wasn't Indian enough. And Guyana is very much divided on ethnic grounds. So I was one of only other, I think there was one other girl that was the same ethnic mix as me. So that was a crazy kind of, I lived there for about 2 years when I was 15. So you can imagine coming from London.
Wow.
You know, from school and going up to Oxford Street and going to Topshop and like living the life that you live as a teenager in London, to going to Guyana where everybody kind of, it's a very small-minded sort of society. Everybody knows, my family are quite well known there. So everywhere I went, people knew who I was, which was very unsettling when you're used to sort of the
anonymity
of London. Mm. And then also that kind of judgment of, she's got good hair. I mean, that was like always leveled at me. It was a good thing that she's got good hair. But then in London, I would have the same kind of stuff thrown at me that like, you're mixed race or you're this or you're that. And it's like people make assumptions about where I'm from rather than kind of inquiring, or they just kind of see me as, you know, exotic. I kind of get that a lot, which is really...
I'd like that.
You can have it, babe. You can have it. Like, yeah.
I've never been...
I'm like a Ferrari, darling.
She's ginger, though. I mean,
I'm not ginger. Oh, don't start these
arguments. Don't start the ginger. Oh, God, no. She's strawberry blonde at the moment. She's got a strawberry blonde hair. But, yeah, so I...
have kind of one side of my family is this huge kind of Indian background. But I mean, Guyana is in South America. We don't speak any other language but British, Guyanese, as people would say. But it's my mum has had 9 siblings. There's now 8 of them. But so I grew up with a very kind of lots of aunties.
Yeah,
lots
amazing.
So she has 7 sisters. And it is was for and is still an absolute crazy thing when you get all of them together. And we have twins, and we have there's only like 18 months between each one of them, so they're all absolutely crazy.
That is amazing. And how you know that they must have made a massive impression on you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think my grandmother, you know, she the matriarch of the family. My grandfather died when she'd just had her last child, so actually she had to bring up all of these children by herself.
Wow.
But she was an absolute just crazy, funny, elegant. She was just everything mixed up. You know, you'd look at this always immaculate. Her nails were always painted, always had her jewelry on, always had her hair done, always had her makeup. Just to even go and get milk, she would look like, you know, she's going to the Ritz.
Boston.
So I kind of just always grew up with loving making myself look nice, like for myself. It was because it was never for a man. It was never for anybody else. It was always just she wanted to feel good for herself. And I've always found, even when I've gone through really tough times with our family and, you know, losing people in it, and that always made me feel like myself, is just taking the time to like do my hair or, you know, put something nice on that makes me feel nice. And I think I've always been like that. And my mum is like that. She's a really snazzy, very cool dresser. She's my favourite shopping person. But all through my life, she's always just dressed for herself. And I think I'm the same. I don't ever really ask anybody's opinion on what I'm wearing. I like to wear what I want to wear and look the way I want to look. I've never sought that out. And I think that is definitely something that I gained from all the women in my family.
Oh, that's fantastic. And you and your relationship with your mum, which has obviously got, you know, it's so significant now that...
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a twin as well. So that's always been hard. It's funny because I wrote a piece for our theme about yearning, because we always take one word. So Maya's got to do youth and I've got to take yearning. And actually, for a long period of my life, yearning to be myself, because always being compared to by someone else. So I was the heavier one that was born. I mean, we were both like 8 something pounds each.
That's enormous, you know, for
massive.
Twins.
My poor mum.
And they didn't she's a slip of a thing, your mother. She's a tot.
And they didn't have all these fancy scans then. She didn't even know she was having 2 till really late. Do you know what I mean?
Whoa.
So they worked out the name for my sister, but they didn't know who I was. So that was interesting. So we've always
heavy
growing
Helen.
Up
heavy.
Exactly, Nelly, actually, for my brother. So there was loads of stuff that, you know, the identity crisis, really. Hate being a twin. Absolutely fucking hate it. Don't recommend it for anyone.
I mean, you don't really get a choice, but...
No, exactly. But, you know, a minute difference between us.
Wow.
And it was always I was the youngest of the family. I mean, come on.
That's
just wrong. I mean, it could have been... It was a C-section, for God's sake. Could have been my arm, her leg.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on, a minute, you know. And it's sort of... Yeah.
You're not bitter.
Well, I'm not bitter at all.
Really
I'm not bitter.
Back to boxing, Helen.
Exactly.
But words, the way your body is described with particular words.
Oh, yeah.
Stay with you for so long.
Absolutely.
Because I on a previous podcast, I just remember my dad saying, oh, Helen, she likes her food. And like, that is not a compliment. That is saying that you are big.
I got that.
Aren't you a big girl?
Yeah, but also because, you know, my parents would see my sister. I was lucky because I wasn't lucky. That's a bad word to use. But actually, I slimmed out a lot quicker than she did.
Yeah.
So then when we used to see mum and dad individually, dad would be like, oh, you're looking good. But then Sarah would arrive and then it would be like, you put it on. You're not like your sister. And that was really bad.
Yeah, that's not fair.
Because there was always this rivalry.
Yeah.
It was just rubbish. Rubbish. It's been really, since I turned 40, it's been brilliant because I spent a lot of time just shedding all of that resentment and all of that. I know I come across as bitter. I probably still am. But
you're you know, there's a lot. You're allowed to hold on to that.
Because actually, it was a long part of my life that was actually dictated to me through my twinage.
Yeah. And being defined by that. Yeah. Yeah. Being a half rather than a whole.
Absolutely. Mm. So I am whole again.
But not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's
in
not
your face, Oprah.
But it's so true though, those things stay with you, because I remember at school, like my PE teacher saying, it's a shame we don't do rugby because with those legs you'd be quite good at it. And I was just like,
words again,
you know. Yeah. You're 14 and everyone else, I always felt like a freaking giant, like everyone was these like petite little, you know, yeah, so like ours. Slip of a girl. And I was like coming in. And then it was like, you know, I was really tall at primary school. And they used to be like, oh, right, how's the air up there? And, you know.
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, really? Yeah. And, you know, really thin at primary school, like so thin I could tuck like an Aran jumper into my jeans. And they'd be like, they'd call me the rake. And then it was like, oh, you make the walls jealous when you walk in. I'm like, look at me now.
I'm out front.
I'm out front, not, you know, coming up. But yeah, those things hang. You still, you know, even now, you still sometimes, you know,
it's like
skinny jeans. I'm not sure, you know, because you just think I'm gonna look, you know, too athletic, and then you think to yourself, no.
But then you
I
am an athlete. Yeah, I am an athlete. That's what I say. Yeah. Whatever I do, it's so funny. I don't just dance on the dance floor. I am a pro.
We've seen.
Oh my god.
There's photographic evidence.
Oh my god. We'll give you the social handles of these guys later. But like Helen's moves, and you're both at my 40th. Helen, you fucking carved it up.
But you know what?
It was awesome.
It could have gone another way. You know, you could have lost one half of these gummy mummies. I was very scared about an injury.
Oh
happening.
Yeah, well, I picked up Ellie. Didn't
you
I?
Picked up Ellie.
Oh, and then
yeah.
I dropped her.
I nearly dropped her.
No, I didn't nearly. I did.
I could have saved you, Helen.
Yeah.
You were on it that night. It was so good.
Well, again, dancing is amazing. I mean, haven't stopped dancing yet is another kind of, if you haven't been to the night,
it is incredible.
We all have to go.
London-based audiences.
Yeah, all around London.
My mum, so we took my mum for her birthday because it's the first birthday without my dad. So I knew it had to be all out, but haven't stopped dancing yet. We're celebrating their 10 years at Greenwich.
The Trafalgar.
It was my mum's birthday. My brother had got married there. It was really lovely and significant.
Yeah.
And my mum, it was so funny, 2 days later, she went, I can't move. She felt so, like, she said, I haven't felt things like, she was hula hooping. She was honestly, it is just, and dancing is the best exercise, and feeling so good about yourself.
And being unjudged.
And haven't stopped dancing yet is all about that. It's about women feeling safe to move and dance.
And men. And be
and happy.
Men.
And men.
Women and men.
Loads of men. And
men.
You know
but
what?
There was more men on Saturday than there was at the previous.
Yeah, but I think it's great because guys always have this hang up of like, oh, I don't dance. But actually, you
cannot,
put on a tune.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got those hips.
And the way that
moving.
The guys do it, haven't stopped dancing yet, is that they cannot not dance because you all have to dance, which is just brilliant in itself. And
even like myself, who gets vertigo from spinning around.
Yeah.
Oh, because you're so tall.
Yeah. So tall. The air is actually thinner up here.
It's not actually tall. It's
8 foot 6. Stop wearing heels, you bugger, as well. You're making us all feel
short. I do my best.
Maya, calm down. Yeah.
I'm like the BF fucking G. I'm really not that tall.
No. but these are the labels, all those sort of words that you put on yourself that can hold you back if you let it.
Absolutely.
And then that is just the most liberating thing, where you can just as you were saying, just get rid of it.
And
be
silly. I mean, God, we all forget that, you know, we've all grown into this world. We stop being silly.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not going to be told to grow up. Do you get what I mean?
No.
At 40, whatever.
Something.
But, you know, I want my kids to be like, oh, Mum, you're so embarrassing. Yeah. I am.
It's on jobs.
TikTok.
It's like, you know, that's what we need to do.
I'd rather be talked about than not talked about.
Exactly. And if finding the joy in your body.
Yeah, absolutely. Let it move. Mm. Let it move in whatever move. Do you know what I mean? As long as it's not a dirty move.
There's a time and a place.
There's always a time and a place.
I think you should set up your own. I mean, you've got enough Instagram accounts anyway, but you could set up another one just for your dancing. Just do some like daily dance.
I think that would have to include Karen Arthur because she's amazing.
Oh yeah,
she does kitchen dancing. Oh. I think that there should be a kitchen dance off every Saturday.
Awesome.
And we all sort of.
Yeah, but isn't that really where the best parties happen?
It's always in the kitchen. That's where the best people are. You go, hang out there.
Yeah.
When we will get Karen on the show.
And get Nikki. Haven't stopped dancing yet. And Lady Boo and, all the crew, man. Just come on.
Stop curating my show.
We cannot help ourselves. It's what we do. Executively produced by us.
Curators.
I know. The choosers of things. I wanted to talk to you, Helen. I don't want to go into too much depth, but you have recently been separated.
Mm-hmm.
And we were speaking before the podcast started about how that also changed how you felt about your body and how you wanted to be strong again as well. And I love that the words that she used before we started recording is that I wanted to be strong enough to move the furniture out of the house. I mean, that's a really powerful and brilliant thing to think about. Aww. Fuck it, most of us are going to go through some kind of separation.
Well, I think that, I don't see it as failure, and I never wanted my separation or my divorce to define me. So that's why I haven't really overly shared it, because it's not. It's just a thing that, a lot of people have to go through. And we had 18 years together. That's not a failure.
It's amazing.
And I feel quite, I'm in a liberating stage of it because I know that I've had a lot of years of turbulence and unhappiness. So I think that, in that time I had to do some intense therapy, but it wasn't relating to my separation. It was relating to a trauma that I went through as a child. And, we all carry baggage, don't we? And if we don't address it then, we just got to know that we've got to address it later on. And mine is later on.
Mm.
So last year I went through some pretty intensive therapy, but it just armoured me up and it made me feel mentally strong. And then I just kind of, that bred into the physical strength that I wanted and I felt that I needed. And especially when the therapy was really based on an anxiety of being alone. And I don't know if that's, God, give me the psychotherapist to analyse my brain. But, is that linked to being a twin?
Yeah.
And the loneliness that you can actually feel by not having another part present. I don't know. So I had to go through pretty intensive therapy to just make me feel comfortable in my own home so that I could actually physically be in every room, because my fear would hold me back from putting the hairdryer on, running a bath, having doors closed, having windows open, at night. What are you all doing, crazy people? And it felt really liberating to do that. And it was hard work, but it really armoured me up. So now I can go into every room in the house and know what piece of the furniture needs to be moved.
Absolutely amazing. Now we're going to come to the end of the podcast, but have you got some more words to impart? The whole podcast has felt so inspiring and motivating for the listeners. What do you want in the future for you guys, the featured in 15? Do you want to just keep going how it is, or have you got
bigger
plans?
That is such a pertinent question, because we are at that sort of juncture where we have to make decisions on where do we see it going? Because when we started it, as we said, we had no agenda. Like, genuinely, there was no agenda. There was no, like, big...
Only to have fun,
yeah. So we didn't put anything, like, heavy onto it. We're going to quit our jobs. We're going to do this. Didn't have any of that attachment, like, baggage with it. So, and I don't know. We're actually really working on that at the moment as to where and how
that goes. I mean, we are thinking about maybe getting in on the old podcast.
Excellent. Join in. It's room for
because,
everyone.
You know, we do like to talk.
I don't think they picked up on it.
No, you may not have got that. But so I think that's kind of where we're
trying
to work.
Yeah, and let fate just take us, you know, I think just be you. Do you get what I mean? Like, be you, let you do you, and see where it takes you. Because we haven't had an agenda.
No,
and we haven't had, you know, and there's so many things that we've done. And then we go, oh, that's really good. Do you see that video that we've got there that was in Lewisham? Maybe that's going to really work because we might be going to Lewisham. You know, it's all those things that just kind of then marry up together. And I love that. I love that sort
we've
of
just
feeling.
Gone with whatever we feel is right.
Yeah.
And I think actually that's probably a really good position to take in your life. Like, go with what feels right. If it starts to feel wrong to you, then it probably is wrong.
Oh, and God, it was the best, and it was the biggest, I think it was so lovely that someone said to me the other day, it's like, well, you are an entrepreneur. And I was like, oh my God, am I? And I just felt that that word in itself was a tick. Do you know what? Yeah, I'm happy with that. There are certain things that don't let fear hold you back.
Yeah.
Don't let like a 9-to-5 job stop you from doing something on the side, which is what we did, you know. Yes, you have to work hard at it, but you work so much harder.
And don't
harder
fear
at stuff.
Failure.
Yeah.
Because actually some of the things that we've learnt from have been because they failed and because we tried to make something feel right when actually it didn't, and we didn't listen to our guts. And that's one thing that we've absolutely learned, and I think taken into our all aspects of our lives, is we trust our gut now.
And you don't have to have money to do this. We've got fuck all, haven't we? You know, you don't need financial backing. Just make sure it doesn't cost you.
Yeah, it doesn't cost us.
Don't
overcapitalise.
Absolutely. Because when Ellie and I started the Sky Mummies, we did it in the same place as you. Like, we started doing the live shows at the same pub, The Signal, and we'd charge a fiver for people to come in, and we'd write our sketches over the month and then do, and it just grew and grew and grew. And for a long time, we never wanted to charge more than £5. And then we're like, oh, maybe seven, maybe eight, you know. And so really slowly, but I know lots of people think, oh, but, you know, I'm going to do this thing, and people already charge £20. So you can, you just have to build it.
Yeah, and enjoy the journey, and that's been half me. I'm a destination person. I literally just want to get
there.
By
the price,
But the journey is just, can be just as incredible.
And also collaborate. Yeah. I think that is what a lot of, you know, it is, you know, all these kind of like, oh, women empower each other, but we actually have to do it. You can't just say it, you can't just put it up on your Facebook and be all like, yeah, you know. You actually reach out to other women that you think, actually, we have a connection. We could do something really cool. Whatever that might be, collaborate. Because you know what? There's strength in numbers. And having somebody, as you know, to bounce ideas off of is great. Because sometimes you do need to have somebody, you know, rein you back in, or, you know, check you and kind of go, well, really? Do we really want to do that? And I think...
Yeah, grow slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not in everything.
No. No, that's very good. Right, ladies.
Yeah.
We finished the podcast with a quick fire round. Right. Here it is. What makes you feel sexy?
Ooh. Red lipstick.
Excellent.
Oh, that's a good one. Earrings.
Yeah, good. What's your most favourite thing to put in your body?
In my body?
In your body.
Oh,
wow. She's going south.
Definitely
very
soon. Gin.
Definitely gin. Excellent.
I went dirty real quick.
Good.
Yeah, probably actually food.
Yeah.
She likes the food.
I like my food. I like cooking. I like eating. So, yeah.
Excellent. What's your most embarrassing body moment? Or one of, I should say, because we've all had many.
Oh, God. When I got my navel pissed in Crete.
Classy. Yeah.
And I've now got a big hole that just weeps for years.
Don't pierce your navel. Don't muck with
your navel that weeps. Only.
I think it's not really mine, but it was when my mother-in-law attempted to show me how to breastfeed. And she showed me a little more than I wanted to see.
Oh, my God.
Whilst I had my boob out, and it was just a bit orcs.
That is orcs. You don't need that.
I never,
that way.
Never needed that advice.
The Hall of Fat Fame. This part of the podcast is called The Hall of Fat Fame. So I like to get the guests to put in somebody that has inspired them that we can put in the our Hall of Fame. So who is it? Who is a person or a woman or a man, whoever you like, that that makes you feel good?
I would say my uncle,
yeah,
who passed. Mm. He was a great swimmer. Oh, well, he taught me how to swim.
Yeah.
But he was funny as fuck. He taught me sense of humour. He was just brilliant. He was just like class. Mm. He knew how to have a good time. He knew how to sell, you know. Yeah. He was just, and he knew how to like do every sport possible.
Awesome.
So he's yeah. definitely up there.
Oh, you've made me feel really shallow because I was going to like pick Oprah. Rihanna. No.
No, Rihanna's awesome. I went to the Rihanna concert. It was
I just love her attitude, and she's like my favourite gift to you.
Straight to Rihanna.
She's my go-to girl, you know. I just love the attitude, and I think we could all have a little bit of Rihanna in us, you know.
Well, if it was someone famous, I'd say Adele. Definitely Adele. Like
representing South London. She's awesome, yeah, isn't she? Like,
come on, bigging it up for Adele.
Yeah.
No, she's
although
brilliant.
Not classy when she axed her, you know, last
what?
Her last performance, her last when she's on tour for the last time, and she then couldn't make her last show.
Oh, the O2.
Yeah. But me and the girls Will went, you know, and we made it to that one, but she couldn't complete.
No. It's hard. Sorry, Adele.
Fatspiration.
What are your mantras to get you through? What do you live by? What words?
You are enough.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I've actually got it on my wall. Good. By Naomi Edmondson.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, you know,
come on, I'm wiping your ass, girl.
Shit, you're so much deeper. I thought you were so shallow. You've really stepped up your game, girl. On fire. Wow. Do you know what? I think for me, it's always about just, you're okay. You're okay. It's like no matter what's going on, you're okay. You know, you're alive, you're breathing. When times are tough, I just think you'll be okay.
Mm.
You will be okay.
You'll get through this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that...
You do say that to me a lot.
Yeah, actually. I do, because I just think sometimes we can get really caught up in the moment of stress or whatever it might be, or your life is going to shit. And what you have to think of is you will be okay and there will be a tomorrow. So, you know, that's kind of it for me.
What an amazing way to end. I wish it wouldn't end, but it must.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, thanks.
And where can people find you? Helen's got 17 Instagram accounts. so okay, let's just go through the list. How do people find you guys?
Featuring 15.
That's the main one. And then the two of us are maybe a little bit Instagrammy. I'm at What Mum Wore.
And I'm at H Holden Design. Well, that's my business side, but then I've got Small Saviours as well, because small things do save you.
Yeah.
Excellent. Find me there, it's more fun.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Small Saviours. And I didn't even plug the fact that you guys have got an amazing job. So we'll have to have you back on the show.
Well, yes. Okay, then.
We'll come back.
Oh, I think the listeners can agree. You guys are amazing.
Thank you
very much. Thank you for being you.
No, thank you.
Oh, we can do this all the time.
No, you're amazing.
Get
you're
out.
No, you're fantastic.
Oh, of course. Well, thank you for listening. You have listened to the Fat Lot of Good podcast. Please rate, review, and subscribe. And yeah, you're awesome too, listener. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.